People were saying Andrew Luck was the best prospect since Elway. Cats are saying Caleb Williams is the best prospect ever. Like, this guy is literally Jesus Christ playing football now to some people. He could do no wrong. He has no flaws, no sin. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? Mike Filman here, Sports and the Real Shit Podcast. Appreciate y'all joining me once again. Another episode. As always, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, family, Spotify, of course, on YouTube, Google, Apple Podcasts. Again, I can't say it enough how much I appreciate the support, the love, social media, right? It's crazy. But let's keep it going, y'all. Today's episode, first, I want to start off here, right? I really don't want to talk about the NBA when the NFL is going on. I want to focus on the NFL, even though I watch the NBA games, but I don't really focus on the NBA games until the NFL is off, right? But the NBA made headlines in the middle of NFL season and kind of stopped us in our tracks. So I got to talk about it. Damian Lillard gets traded to the Bucks after all summer, seems like forever, seems like 20 years, you're talking about Damian Lillard leaving Portland, and everybody was saying he's going to Miami, and you know everybody's saying it's all but done going to Miami, this and that. It turns out, nope, he doesn't go to Miami. The Blazers GM wasn't feeling what the Heat were offering. Plus, I don't think he really wanted to give Damian what he was asking for. That's crazy. Talk about loyalty. Maybe that's a topic for another episode. Loyalty in sports. Because Dame was loyal to that city, to that organization. And whatever, right? They didn't really follow through on that. And they didn't reciprocate that loyalty. But they get a haul. The organization gets a haul for him out of the Bucks, big time trade, players going all over the place. And I said it in the episode several episodes ago, right? Talking about the NBA and people talking about they want Dame Lillard traded and this and that. And I was like, he was in a lose-lose situation regardless. If he stayed, right, people are going to say he's running from the grind. If he wants to be traded, people are going to say, well, he's chasing a chip, you know. And now if he's with Milwaukee, if he doesn't win it, people are going to say they knew he wasn't going to win regardless. He goes to team up with Giannis, and they got a great team, right? They should be contending for a championship. But if they don't win it, people are going to say, well, we knew Dame wasn't like that. He can't be the number one on a great team. We knew that. Like, he's in a lose-lose situation. And I thought they were going to be the favorites to win the Eastern Conference, to be honest with you. After the trade, but then, you know, the Celtics go out and get Drew. So Lillard basically gets swapped. I know there's other players involved. But Dame gets swapped for Drew. And then the Celtics hop on and get Drew. And one of my criticisms for the Celtics and, you know, getting Porzingis and all these things, right, back and forth, I was like, they still need a guard letting Marcus Smart go. And Marcus Smart is not really a point guard, so they still need someone to orchestrate and lead, right, when things are going crazy. And Drew is kind of like a perfect fit. So now I don't know if Milwaukee has, like, the perfect path, the easy path to the championship. So to me, the East is now a two-horse race. Two horses. The Bucks and the Celtics. And I'm going to be honest, man. It's a toss-up. But if the Celtics blow this, as in like they don't at least make it to the conference championship, and I'm talking about conference championship goes to game 6 or 7, they might have to blow things up, man. Because y'all know me, I like the tandem, Jason Tatum, right? I like the tandem of Jalen and Jason, but ooh-wee. They got to make a deep run this year. With this lineup, this is a stacked team. And I'm not putting as much weight on the Porzingis trade, right, as others are. Porzingis is a nice player, but I think the guy they were missing was somebody like Drew. to help direct an offense, calm them down, and he's a defender. Yeah, that team got to go conference finals at the very minimum. Anything less, I'm over y'all, man. I'm over y'all. Hopefully, Jalen worked on his left hand, and Jason comes to play ball every night, man. Like Bill Belichick says, no days off. But that was a big pickup for the Celtics. Shout out to Dame, man. He wanted out. I guess the organization wasn't, you know, moving in the direction. There's some stuff going on behind the scenes. He talked about it. I don't want to get too much into it since it's NFL season, but he talked about it, you know, with Chris Haynes, you know, about what happened, and the organization pretty much didn't want to, you know, deal with him and all that. Just a lot of craziness, man. Sports business. You think you're being loyal, and sometimes it's just not reciprocated. It happens in the real world too, man. You give your company, you know, hard-earned, you know, your hours, you know, your blood, sweat, and tears, and they turn around and fire you on the spot because they didn't make their numbers. They didn't please Wall Street. It's happening to a bunch of people as we speak. It's craziness, right? That's why I say, do you. Do what's best for you. Take your vacation time, right? Same with Damian. Right, he did what was best for him. You know, he was loyal, but he got paid. And, you know, now he's elsewhere. He's with the Bucks. But great situation. Probably a better situation than really Miami. Because I felt like even if he went to Miami, I didn't feel like that would put them over the top. I don't think Miami has enough to truly be a championship team. Of course, they can win the East because there's some dogs down there. And if other teams are going to fold like the Bucks, right, are going to choke, then, yeah, Miami's going to have a chance. But if everybody plays up to their potential, I don't know if Miami has the horses. Even if they added Dame, I don't know if they had the horses to battle it out with Boston if they played up to their potential, and a Bucks if they played up to their potential. But, yeah, we'll see how it unfolds. But I'll have more to come on that one when we get closer to NBA season. I'll probably have an NBA kickoff episode, right? Y'all can look forward to that. But I'm probably not going to talk about the NBA a lot because the NFL just, you know, it takes up so much of our attention, to be honest with you, and so much time. So we'll pause on any more conversation on the NBA for now. So back to football. First of all, college football, and it's probably gonna be a weekly thing. Colorado once again gets beat. All right. So a lot of people are gonna hop off, right? People are gonna hop off the bandwagon. That's natural. People, you know, wanna be, you know, on the bandwagon with winners. A lot of people are gonna hop off. Like I said last episode, I don't think they're that good of a team. They're getting a lot of attention because of Deion and, you know, the hype he creates and all that. And down the line, they're gonna definitely create a winner. But the story to me of the weekend, in my opinion, right, this is just me, is the hype that Caleb Williams gets. And it's been 2-3 years now, probably since he was a freshman, people have been at Oklahoma, and now he's at USC. People have been wanting, you know, Caleb Williams to be like the first pick in the NFL draft. And the hype didn't stop this weekend against Colorado. People don't care, man. Like, I get it. The kid is talented, right? I'm not going to sit here and act like Caleb Williams is not talented. Super talented kid. But I personally think he's overhyped, all right? And by the way, USC beat Colorado. I don't think the game was as close as the final score indicated. I thought USC kind of got sloppy, you know, in the second half. But they were smacking Colorado around, right? Blowing them out. And then the game got closer. Shedeur Sanders ended up having some nice numbers towards the end of the game. But I didn't think it was that close. But, of course, as you're watching the game and you're on social media, everyone is talking about Caleb Williams this. Oh, look at arm talent, the different platforms, this and that. And, again, Caleb Williams is talented, so don't get me wrong. I'm not a hater. I'm not saying he's not talented. But I think Caleb Williams is overhyped. All right? That's just me. For 3 years now, all we hear about is Caleb Williams this, is Caleb Williams that. And every time I'm watching, I'm like, this kid is throwing to wide booty open receivers. Hardly any pressure in the pocket ever because he's playing in a Pac-12 where they're allergic to defense for the most part. So I'm like, yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's accurate. He's strong arm, athletic. Yeah, he kind of reminds you of Mahomes, probably even a more athletic Mahomes. But damn it, man, you can't help but see, like, this guy's throwing to wide open receivers, and he's hardly pressured. And the offense that he plays in has created Heisman Trophy winners who look like God themselves when they were in the offense. So, yeah, he's great. But let's slow down, dude. And the media and the fans and everybody's like, man, he could start for a whole bunch of NFL teams right now. And maybe he could. And the media and the fans are like, teams, you know, who need a quarterback, you know, who don't have a franchise guy. Basically, they're like, teams, if you don't have Josh Allen, you don't have Patrick Mahomes, you don't have Justin Herbert, you know, those type of guys, Burrow, anybody else, you know, you should trade whatever you got to do, trade to get Caleb Williams. 3-4 first round picks, whatever it takes to get Caleb Williams. I'm like, what the hell? You don't even know, you don't know what this guy really is. First of all, you're assuming he's the next Patrick Mahomes. But Patrick Mahomes, like I say over and over, Patrick Mahomes walked into a great team, a playoff team, and a Hall of Fame head coach, and a tight end who was going to be a Hall of Famer without him, with or without him, and Tyreek. He walked in the structure. More than likely, that's not going to happen again for Caleb Williams. It's not going to happen. He's probably going to walk into a bad situation. And I know his pops has talked about, well, he doesn't have to go pro because he's getting the hella NIL money, which is true. But at some point, the teams at the top are going to be bad teams and bad situations. And if they trade 3-4 first-round picks and players to get you, that depletes the roster even more and their ability to build around you even more. And by the way, this kind of conversation proves to me that NFL fans don't care about winning. Because there's no scenario where you draft the guy, you gut the roster, you deplete all the picks, and then this guy ends up flourishing and taking you to the Super Bowl. So, nah, NFL fans don't really care about winning. They care about the fact that they can argue on social media that their QB is top 10. That's what it's become among fans and media members alike. This guy is a top 10 QB. He throws, you know, off platform, off his back foot. He can make any throw. But these guys don't really care about winners, right, and winning football. Because if all you do is win and you're not flashy, you're a system QB. Hint, hint. Yeah, I know who I'm talking about. You're mid. You're being carried. If you're not throwing bombs sideways while falling out of bounds, which is what this guy does, then you're a system QB. You're mid. You ain't like that. You're not running around. So, yeah, NFL fans, to me, you know, anyone who says that, right, let's just trade everything to get Caleb Williams, you don't care about winning. You only care, you want to argue online that your QB is the best in the league, top five, right? He's better than Joe Burrow. Football is about winning. And winning, you need great players. And if you're going to trade everybody and all your draft picks, people are like, well, it doesn't matter because once you get your QB, you can, you know, build around him. It's easier to build around him. Since when? Prove it. Prove it. Show me the guy who was so excellent, came to a bare situation, and ended up winning a Super Bowl they built around him. Joe Burrow, great QB, but he ended up getting hurt, and then they ended up getting a high draft pick to be able to get Ja'Marr Chase. Remember? So it's almost an impossible situation to gut your roster and then rebuild. And then these QB salaries are going to be infinite dollars. So you can't really do that, bro. But hey, fans just want to say they got a top 5, top 10 QB. Screw winning. right? If you're not looking like Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes running around and throwing bombs down the field 70 yards, you're not a franchise guy. You don't look pretty enough playing football, right? People think, well, you know, you're a wagon, or you're not the bus driver, right? You're riding on the bus. You're not the horse, you're the carriage. Like all these, you know, different things they say about guys who supposedly aren't good enough to win Super Bowls, because really the only reason is because they don't look as flashy as others. They're not running around. They're not doing anything themselves. Josh Allen is essentially the Buffalo Bills offense, right? He's a runner, he's a thrower. And if you ain't doing that, then you're not enough of a franchise player. That's why everybody thought Justin Fields was going to be a franchise player, because he could run and he can throw. Justin was going to be the franchise guy. And so far, he's proven to not be a franchise guy, unfortunately. And I like Justin. So it's just, you know, who could be the fanciest? And Caleb Williams, I keep wanting to call this cat Jason, but Caleb Williams fits the bill. He looks pretty. He looks good doing it. He's an amazing athlete. Like I said, don't get me wrong, but I just don't like when cats are overhyped before they take a snap in the pros. Because in the pros, it's not about standing back there with all day to throw unless you're Jalen Hurts. It's not about standing back there and throwing to open receivers. You're going to get popped, man. More than likely, you're going to be getting hit, and hit a lot. So how does your arm look when you're getting hit? And you know, when you're online, and I'm on social media quite a bit, you know, trying to, you know, gather people's feelings about this guy. And, you know, some people are like, man, yeah, this guy's good. They have my opinion. They're like, yeah, this guy's good, but, you know, he's throwing to open receivers. You look at all the time he has. And, of course, you have people who are like, it's not about the open receivers. It's not about the time he has. But, you know, he's on one play, you know, he's able to run left. And as he's running, you know, throw the ball and the velocity. And I'm like, majority of NFL quarterbacks, even the ones you call mid, can make that throw. He's all open. So they're looking for things to say, you know, he's so excellent beyond everybody else. And I'm like, a lot of the stuff he's doing with that kind of time, most NFL quarterbacks are doing the same damn thing. But he's the best prospect ever, they say. I remember when Andrew Luck was coming out. They were like, Mel Kiper was like, Andrew Luck is like the best quarterback prospect I've graded since John Elway. That was what, 2011, 2012? That's a long-ass time. All the quarterbacks in between, the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. And Andrew Luck was a great quarterback. But guess what? Andrew Luck won nothing. Why? Because his organization didn't know how to build around him. He got hit too much. And he quit. He was like, F that, I'm out. I'm out. You can't build an offensive line? So, yeah, Caleb Williams, you're good. But you go to a team who doesn't know how to build, and you won't know that. That's the problem. You won't know that the GM, whether it's a new GM or an existing GM, you don't know that after they draft you if they're going to be getting hits after you. You don't know that. And the fans and the media don't know that. So, yeah, you can draft Caleb Williams, but you don't know if you'll be able to keep stacking these great draft picks to be able to build a championship team. And if you give all your draft picks away in the first place, then you definitely won't. Trust me, people, I know. I'm a Dolphins fan. I watched Dan Marino be the best quarterback in the league forever, and we never built a championship team around this cat. Like, he was the guy making all the flashy plays. And we never won anything with him. Went to one Super Bowl. So, yeah, Caleb, you're nice, man. He's a nice player. But please, let's slow down, dog. Let's not go ahead and trade the house for this guy, the farm. Same draft as Andrew Luck. RG3 got traded. Or they traded a whole bunch of picks to get RG3, the Redskins at the time. Traded a whole bunch of picks to get three first-round picks to get RG. And RG3 was lethal in college. I don't know if he was as good as Caleb, but he was lethal. Heisman Trophy winner. Three first-round picks and a second-round pick for RG3. Ends up getting hurt. Jared Goff, the Rams traded a bunch of picks to get Jared Goff. Jared Goff is like, at this point. 49ers traded 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance. Oh, he was going to be amazing with Shanahan's offense. Kyle Shanahan. Ooh, Trey Lance was going to be amazing in Kyle Shanahan's offense. 3 first-round picks. And they couldn't get rid of him fast enough a couple weeks ago. We don't know, man. We don't know how these guys translate. So this idea of there's this franchise quarterback out there, let's trade everything we have for him, I don't adhere to that, man. I'm sorry. I don't go by that one. I can't do it. Again, he's nice. I'm going to keep saying it so people won't think I'm a hater. I think he's a great quarterback. And he could potentially have a great career. But I've seen too many guys, you know, we call great, come in and not be so great. Like one guy was reading on Twitter. He's like, this guy is literally the best prospect ever. People were saying Andrew Luck was the best prospect since Elway. Cats are saying Caleb Williams is the best prospect ever. Like, this guy is literally Jesus Christ playing football now to some people. He could do no wrong. He has no flaws, no sins. Okay, we'll see. But I'm just not a fan of cats who just look so amazing in college, especially when they're not getting touched. The receivers are always open. Just reminds me of all these old cats like Danny Werfel playing with the Gators. Used to be throwing to wide open dudes all the time. And Danny Werfel wasn't as talented as Caleb Williams. But just as an example, we'll see. Best prospect ever. Are you kidding? All right. We'll see, man. We'll see. So that's my thought on college this weekend, y'all. Again, other teams played. Florida State was off, so I had a chance to watch other teams. Alabama won again. UGA squeaked by Auburn. So UGA is going to stay at the top spot, of course. SEC bias. FSU keeps dropping even if we keep winning. That's amazing to me. That's amazing how that works. We don't get the bias, though. But, yeah, so that's my thoughts on college football this weekend. USC, Colorado. USC defense sucks, by the way. Trash. I guess that's the kind of defense the NFL wants. So, yeah, that's college football, y'all. Let's move on. So, NFL Week 4 recap. It's still going on as we speak now. As I'm recording this, the Seahawks are playing the Giants, and the Giants are getting their butt whooped. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I know the Giants were overrated coming into the season. Daniel Jones was overrated. I think he sucks. I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it. I don't think he's that good. He's not even mid, right? He sucks. And without Saquon, he looks even worse. But week four recap. My summary of week four in the NFL. All right. The Chiefs, man, are tough to beat. But they're even tougher to beat when they got the refs on their side. So the Chiefs have reached the point where you got to beat them. You got to beat Pat and the refs. All right. Because the refs now are at the point where they're giving the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt all the time. And I watched this as a Dolphins fan. I watched the Patriots get all the calls against us because we were garbage. We sucked, and the Patriots were great. And Brady got all the calls. You couldn't touch this guy. You couldn't touch his receivers. And other fans of other teams will agree as well as they watched them. But I had a front row seat, man. I've seen it. All the close calls went to Tom Brady and the Patriots. And that's what's happening to the Chiefs. They've reached Jordan status, Kobe status, LeBron status, where you can't touch these dudes. They're getting a foul call. I'm watching the Chiefs play on Sunday Night Football. I'm like, what the hell? How come that one's a PI and a hold? And Patrick Mahomes gets to scramble out the pocket, and the defender is getting his jersey held. It's clear. And, of course, people were going to say, well, you know, he was inside the path. It was clearly getting held. Arms up, getting held. But nope. No call. So yeah, now you got to beat the Chiefs and the refs, and it's going to be tough. Andre Iguodala talked about that actually on a podcast, you know, when dealing with LeBron and the Heat and them, you know, you had to beat them by like 15, 20 points in order to beat them by 3 points. You had to be so much better than them because they were going to get the calls because the NBA wanted these guys in the finals. And I'll talk about that in an episode about the NBA being rigged. And the NFL say they're not scripted, but man, sometimes it looks like it is. I'm not going to lie. The refs be looking like they're cheating. And I'm not even a Jets fan, but the Jets kind of got robbed. No joke. Patrick Mahomes gets to throw a pick, but gets a do-over because the ref throws a super late flag. Anyway, I'm off of that. Just getting flashbacks of the Brady Patriots, man. Flashbacks of them just, the Dolphins just getting robbed all day. Speaking of the Dolphins, we got smacked by the Buffalo Bills. Big time. Embarrassing loss. People were hyping us up after scoring 70 points. I knew we weren't going to score 70 again. And I knew our defense was suspect. I know our defense was that suspect. And this has always been my fear for as a Dolphins fan, right, even with this new offense, is that we're more of a finesse team. The Dolphins are a finesse team. And when you play the good teams that are good on both sides, they're not going to let you finesse your way down the field. You're going to have to, at some point, try to bully them. And I don't know if the Dolphins can bully right now. We can't run the ball and force teams like that, right, and pound the ball. We're a finesse team with Tua. And they made us look bad. The Bills, shout out to the Bills. Props to them. They made us look bad, man. Dolphins fans are blaming, well, the O-line was hurt, this and that. Nah, man, the Bills bullied us both sides of the ball. We couldn't stop Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen did whatever he wanted to do. Defense just got embarrassed. So now we got to adjust and come back because you better believe other good teams are going to, you know, they're going to try to target our faults like that. They're going to see what we did wrong on tape and they're going to try to come after us. Fortunately for us, we get Daniel Jones and the Giants next, so that should be an easy win. Dolphins, I thought we were the best team in the league. Well, one of the best teams in the league. Right now, one side of the ball sucks. So we're like a half team. If we don't score a lot, Dolphins ain't winning. So shout out to the Bills. Great win on their part. What else? Jacksonville, overrated, as I've said before. Continue to look overrated. Didn't look that great against the Falcons, who aren't really that good of a team. They don't get much QB pressure. And their O-line is suspect. So I think the good teams are going to beat them. They're going to make it hard for them. So Jacksonville's overrated. C.J. Stroud looks good. C.J. Stroud looks really good, man, as a rookie. And that's the thing I hate about the NFL draft process. People start to nitpick and stories start coming out about this being that. Supposedly he didn't do great on tests and whatever, man. Can you play football or can you play football? And C.J. Stroud can play football. Apparently, it looks like it. And I don't like to judge cats too soon, right? It's only been 4 games, but he looks really good. So I'm rooting for that kid. I hope he does well and he continues to shine. But he looks really, really good. Texans may have a franchise quarterback. I hate that term, but we'll see. On the opposite end of the spectrum, I hate to say, I said this last time, I didn't want to call this guy garbage, but I think Mac Jones for the Patriots sucks now. I think I officially made up my mind. I was saying before that, you know, I don't know if he sucks or not because Bill Belichick didn't build around him, you know, got these bummy receivers, right? Offensive game plans wasn't the greatest last year and this and that, but some of the decisions he made this weekend, I don't know, man. Like trying to throw across the field, across his body, across the field. Come on, bro. That's a rookie high school mistake in the NFL. Listen, I know you're trying to force, you know, the offense, you know, make some plays, but those were just bad decisions. So I think I've demoted Mac Jones, Macaroni Jones, from mid to I think he sucks. I think he's down there with Daniel Jones, and unfortunately, damn. I have no pleasure. I don't take pleasure in saying that, y'all. I don't take pleasure in saying that. The Patriots quarterback sucks. But yeah, I don't think he's good. So we'll see. Patriots may be in the quarterback sweepstakes this year, after this year. Eagles look suspect. I know they keep winning, but they don't look as good as they did last year. I don't know if people have adjusted to what they do. Their O-line is still great, but their defense doesn't look as great as it did last year. Maybe they're just playing better teams. I don't know. But they barely beat the Commanders, Washington. So they look okay. Again, they keep winning, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Season's young. And then the Rams, man, they got this new kid, this receiver, Puka Nacua. That kid's really good. He's already got 39 catches for 501 yards, one touchdown. Listen, when Matt Stafford finds a guy, he's going to throw this guy the ball a million times. He's going to force it to him, and that may lead to some picks. But Puka caught the game-winning touchdown against the Colts this weekend. But he looks really good, though. He looks really good. I wanted to call him out specifically because I didn't know who he was, but he's piling up points in fantasy. And when I went to get him, pick him up, somebody in my league had already picked him up. That was like week two. Dudes are fast, man. But no, I think he's a good receiver. And when Cooper Kupp comes back, they'll have two dudes who can, you know, get separation like that. Really smart receivers. So that was my summary of week four. Right? I'm not going to do every game. Y'all don't have time to do every game. Y'all see what happened. But that's my thoughts. The Chiefs, you got to beat them and the refs. Bills smacked the Dolphins, so they're probably one of the best teams in the league now. Dolphins get knocked down a notch. I think Jacksonville's overrated. TJ Stroud looks really good. Mac Jones sucks. The Eagles look suspect. And Puka Nacua is a really good receiver for the Rams. But I did say last time I was going to do NFL picks, my predictions. So I'm going to do that now, all right? Again, don't hold me to it, to my predictions. What can I say? Dudes get hurt, right? But if everybody stays healthy, here are my predictions. Dun-dun-dun. First, AFC East. I think the Dolphins, of course, biased. Not really. I think the Dolphins are going to win the AFC East. Damn. There's no bias at all. The Dolphins win the AFC East. We're 3-1 right now. Buffalo just smacked us. They might beat us again. Who knows? But I think the Dolphins win the AFC East. I think the North is going to go to the Ravens. They're 3-1. The Bengals were supposed to challenge for the North. Joe Burrow's hurt, right? His calf injury, and they don't look good right now. They just got smacked by the Titans. Pittsburgh just looks awful on offense. Defense is okay, but they look awful on offense. They can't really score like that. So I think the Ravens are going to take that division. And Cleveland. Yeah, Cleveland's another team in the North. I don't know what to say about them. They look on and off. Deshaun, he was hurt this past weekend, but Deshaun looks okay at best right now. We'll see if he can get better. But I just think the Ravens, talent-wise, they got a better team, offense, defense, and Lamar's balling. Got some weapons. He's balling. AFC South. I think the Titans are going to take the AFC South. Like I said, I think Jacksonville's overrated. I don't think their defense is that good. I think their O-line is going to open up Lawrence for getting hit a lot. And Trevor Lawrence is going to get hit a lot. And as a result, I'm not sure if I trust the Jags to be as good as people thought they were going to be. The Colts have a young crew, right? Rookie quarterback. So I don't know how much they'll really win. T.A. Stroud, like I said, is good, but I don't know how much they can really win with him his first year. So I think the Titans probably have the best roster, to be honest, in that division. as much as people would like to hate on him because they don't have a flashy quarterback. They got my guy, RT17, Ryan Tannehill. But they just smacked the Bengals, and I think with their experience, I think the Titans could win that division. AFC West, I give it a KC by default, man. I don't trust the Chargers for one bit. They got a talent. I just don't trust them. Their coaching gets real sus. I don't know. Herbert is nice, but sometimes I wonder about him. He makes great plays, but you know, sometimes when you need him, he doesn't come through like that. He didn't against the Titans. And the Raiders are the Raiders. Unfortunately, they continue to be the Raiders. McDaniels continues to have a head coaching job, and he'll probably continue to get a head coaching job. He'll go back to New England, Josh McDaniels, and then come back and get another head coaching job. So I don't trust the Chargers. Definitely can't do nothing with the Raiders. Broncos are bad. Sean Payton's legacy, is that taking a hit? Like, would Sean Payton have the notoriety and be the have the name recognition and the clout that he has if it wasn't for Drew Brees? I don't know. But all I know is right now, the team doesn't look good. Their defense stinks. And their offense is just, it scores points, but it's not enough to win a lot of games so far. 1-3. Wild card, I got Buffalo. I got Chargers, although I don't trust them. And I got the Bengals getting the wild cards for the AFC. NFC, the NFC East, I got Dallas winning over Philly. Again, I don't think Philly's playing that great. I think Dallas' defense is great. And I think they can sustain that throughout the year. NFC North, Detroit's going to win by default. The rest of the teams suck. The Vikings don't look that good. Kirk Cousins is throwing all types of bad picks. Jordan Love and the Packers don't look all that great. The Bears just look awful. Justin Fields, I don't know what's going on over there. NFC South, I think the Bucs take it. They're 3-1 and looking good. I thought the Saints would be better so far. They're meh, not looking that great. The Panthers with Bryce Young don't look that good. So, yeah, we'll give it to the Bucs. And the Falcons, Desmond Ridder, he doesn't look like he's that good either right now. That's the thing, man. These rookie quarterbacks, everybody wants a rookie quarterback, and they're going to be the next thing. They look great, and until they get on the field, they don't look that good, right? So I think the Bucs are going to take the NFC South. And NFC West, the 49ers are like the best team in the league. They look the most balanced, offense, defense. They're just like that. 4-0. Can't be stopped. They look convincingly 4-0. Now, the Cardinals played them well, but they look convincingly 4-0, right? So I think they're the best team in the league, and I think they're going to take the West. The Cardinals, they look like they're tanking, but they're playing hard, so I like that. The Seahawks look good. I think they'll make a wild card spot. So the Seahawks will get a wild card spot. The Eagles will get a wild card spot. And the Rams, I think the Rams and the NFC West as well will get a wild card spot. So really the NFC West is probably going to have three teams in the playoffs, I think. Especially when Cooper Kupp comes back. Yeah, I think the Rams are going to have a really good offense for sure. They're going to score a lot of points. So those are my picks, y'all. Don't hold me to them. Like I said, I'm scared to do picks in the NFL because you don't know who's going to stay healthy and who's not. So at the end of the year, you're going to be like, well, I didn't know. I didn't know everybody's going to get hurt. I didn't know. But I think I made pretty good picks, y'all. We'll come back to it at the end of the season and see what's going on. All right, let's move on. So here's what I want to close out with, y'all. Yeah, y'all going to have to stay with me on this one. So people do a lot of crazy stuff for money. And that's a given. People do a lot of crazy stuff for money, and people do a lot of crazy stuff to survive, to live, right? Like people sell drugs for money. They do it because they want to pay their bills, right? That's they see that that's like their only way to survive, right, is to sell drugs. Of course, there's some people who don't really need to do that to survive, but a lot of people, right, who do that stuff, they do it to survive. So people do crazy, a lot of crazy stuff, and their morals kind of go out the window for money. Right? You kind of do some stuff. Sex work. And I don't want to talk down on sex workers, but those are things that people would normally do, right? But money's great, so you do it. On the other hand, those of us who aren't doing those things, we accept a lot of negative, a lot of bad things, right? A lot of wrongs in this world. We accept a lot of them as part of living in this world. We understand that there are bad things that happen in this world that we can't control, right? We can't control the labor costs, right, of people in third world countries in China, Indonesia, you know, Philippines, elsewhere, right? We can't control that labor cost that these corporations take advantage of these poor people in these other countries by paying them way less than what they should be getting paid so they can save money so we in the United States can live comfortably. We can't control that. So we kind of accept that, right? So we want to be good people, right? But some things we can't control. We can't control that corporations are taking advantage of Chinese workers and people in Haiti, right? I talked about that. People in the, you know, in Vietnam and Philippines and Mexico, you know, making cents per day. We can't control that. You know, those things have to happen in order for us to, you know, to wear some of the clothes we wear and to live the way we do, right? There are injustices all around us that we have no control over. So we kind of accept that. But what I've come to realize and I've thought about in the last couple of weeks, and it's been highlighted in my mind recently, is that we kind of put up with a lot of stuff unnecessarily for entertainment. We put up with a lot of stuff for sports. We turn the other cheek, we turn a blind eye to a lot of things to be entertained, right? Women who are normally sane watch Real Housewives of whatever, when really that show is just a brain suck, right? My wife watches that stuff, and every time she watches, I'm like, this thing provides no value but women yelling and fake drama. There's no benefit to it whatsoever. But it's entertaining, so we turn a blind eye to the stupidity. Normally, we would not be sitting there watching, right, in real life, people fight all the time and yell all the time. But for some reason on TV, we get entertained by crazy stuff like that. So we put up with a lot of stuff in entertainment. But in sports, guys and women as well, we put up with a lot of stuff, a lot of BS. So my question is, at what point, what is your limit to sport? What is your limit on sports? What will make you stop watching sports, your favorite sport? What will make you stop watching basketball? What will make you stop watching football? What will make you say, okay, this is a bit much. I'm done. I'm out of here. Right? We watch college football. Those of us who watch college football, we watch college football even though we knew it was shady as hell, and it still is shady as hell. Players not getting paid what they're supposed to. There's NIL now. But we watched at a certain point when they weren't getting paid nothing. And some people try to say, well, you know, at least they're getting scholarships. Even though these guys were getting robbed, we still watch college football. We still watch college basketball. Cats should have been making millions at the time, but they weren't. They were playing for free. Modern-day slavery. Cats at the top getting paid. Head of NCAA, all these big wigs, everybody's getting millions. Schools getting millions. The basketball and football athletes are funding other non, you know, revenue generating programs. That was the excuse. Well, how are we going to fund all these other, you know, programs if we're paying the athletes? Make it work, idiots. Cowards. So we watch college sports knowing that they weren't getting paid. At the same time, especially for football, they were incurring life-changing injuries playing football. Some of these dudes never made it pro because they were undraftable by the time the 3-4 years was up because they had knee injuries and elbow injuries and back injuries. So you didn't pay them, and they have lifelong injuries while playing that sport. life-threatening stuff. That's some serious corruption, man. But we watched. We watched college football, all-time record-setting numbers. We watched college basketball, Final Four draws millions and billions of dollars, and we watched. But we knew that it was wrong. What's the limit? Golf. Different sport, golf. Golf, you know, a couple months ago, you know, when was it last year or whatever it was, golf, you know, Saudi Arabia is offering these golfers, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, you know, near billion of the dollars to come play over there. People were like, well, you know, you can't accept that money in Saudi Arabia. They got, you know, this and that, blood on their hands, this and that. PGA is like, you know, you guys are, you know, turning your backs on Americans and, you know, you can't go take that Saudi Arabian money. And then, as it turns out, the PGA says, hey, we'll take the money too. But fans and media were like, you know, you guys can't go to, you know, to that tournament, those tournaments. You can't go play, you know, Saudi Arabian owned stuff. You know, you can't do that. You can't go play on that tour. That's what they said. So the players are going to get paid now. PGA is getting boku bucks. And guess what? The fans are still going to watch, man. Golf fans are still going to watch. Golf fans ain't going to stop watching golf because now it's the Saudi Arabian tournament, whatever it's going to be called. And not the PGA Tour. Golf fans are still going to watch. That's just how it is. I wonder what will make golf fans stop watching golf. At what point? But I guarantee you they're going to have record-setting numbers. Let's keep going. What about soccer? All we hear about in soccer is there's corruption. FIFA's corrupt. There's a million different ways, you know, people say FIFA's corrupt, whether it's who gets the World Cup, who wins the World Cup, some say FIFA's corrupt, but we still watch, the world still watch. Some players are not getting that Saudi money too. People still watch. Before the Qatar World Cup, we were talking about all the injustices going on over there and human rights issues, you know, this and that, right? People still watch, record numbers. There was a reporter, right, journalist, ends up dying over there. There wasn't much said about it. There was a little bit of rumble, you know, what happened. But was there any real investigation done to find out what really happened? But people still watched that final, record numbers. So we say things, we see wrong, but we keep watching. Olympic stadiums get built in places that have no business building stadiums. You know, there's been news about workers dying, you know, at construction sites of Olympic stadiums. And in some Olympic stadiums, you know, or even the World Cup, they build these places. You know, they build these stadiums in these countries. And once the event's over, there's no use for these things. Right? It has no benefit for the locals. And we know about that. We hear about that stuff, but we still watching record numbers. Steroids in baseball. We loved it. I loved it. We knew they were cheating, but we still watched. Boxing, there's head injuries. People dying in the ring. You could turn into Muhammad Ali with brain injuries and other boxers, but people still watch. MMA, and I can't believe people actually watch the MMA like that because it's just the most barbaric things. I didn't think that MMA would take off like it did, but it certainly has. And but these guys are getting hurt. Some of the nastiest leg injuries have happened in the MMA where you strike in the guy and your leg breaks. Anderson Silva. But it continues to grow. We have no problem. And by the way, those MMA injuries, like at some point, they're going to start coming out like football did, right? Several years from now, I'm like, damn, these guys really destroyed their lives and their brains. Basketball. Basketball people were like, you know, remember during COVID when the NBA had, you know, the Black Lives Matter on the court? People were like, I can't watch basketball. I can't watch the NBA Black Lives Matter on the floor. I'm going to turn it off. Yeah, right. I'm going to turn off the NBA. I don't want to watch the NBA with Black Lives Matter on the floor. Or what about this one? NBA sold out to China. I'm not going to watch NBA. They sold out to China. People still watching. Those people still watching. And that's just how it is. So when it comes to sports and entertainment, we say things, we may see injustices or things that we believe are wrong. But for the most part, man, we're still going to watch. What about the NFL? Remember the whole Colin Kaepernick thing? NFL, white folks said they weren't going to watch the NFL because Kaepernick and these other boys was kneeling. Black folks said they weren't going to watch the NFL because Kaepernick got blackballed and they weren't going to watch until Kaepernick was reinstated. A lot of people said on both sides, right? A lot of people said, white folks said, I'm not watching because dudes are kneeling. Black folks said, I'm not watching until Kaepernick's reinstated. 99% of those people either never left or came back. That's just how it is. Or lack of minorities in the front office and hiring practices for coaches, right? You got to get the Rooney Rule up in there. Black folks talk about it. It's clearly, you know, there's wrong going on there. There's wrongdoing. There's clearly things that we don't like there and we know it's wrong, but we continue to watch. We continue to watch even though we know, you know, Black folks don't get the same opportunities as white coaches. Eric Bieniemy has to go prove himself and with the Redskins or with the Commanders. Eric Bieniemy has to go prove himself with the Reds. Why do I keep saying Redskins? Eric Bieniemy keeps having to go prove himself. You know, he has to go to the Commanders to go prove himself while other guys on Andy Reid's staff who weren't calling plays got coaching jobs right out the gate. And they're going to say Eric Bieniemy was this and that and his passing this and that? Nah, man. Urban Meyer, you know, these other guys have history and they get opportunities. Don't give me that. So we know there's practices that ain't right, but we continue to watch. Jerry Jones keeps playing in our faces, saying some of the dumbest stuff ever, but we still watch. Owners threaten to move teams and some actually move teams. If they don't get a new stadium, even though they can afford it themselves, but they want the taxpayers to fund it. So taxpayers are getting robbed, but we still watch. We don't care. NFL owners don't really care about players' health like that with turf and these different conversations, but we don't care. We still watch. So the NFL, the appetite for entertainment, whether it's football, basketball, whatever it is, the appetite for sports and entertainment is, for the most part, there's not much you can do to get folks to stop watching. Few folks stop. There's some that stop. But for the most part, there's not much that's going to happen that's going to make people turn off the TV. So the reason I say all that is because Chandler Jones last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was on social media recording videos and saying some stuff. He ends up getting arrested. Supposedly he was, you know, put in a mental health facility. He claimed it was against his own will. Chandler Jones is displaying signs of CTE. Same signs that AB has shown. And AB has said, nah, I ain't got no CTE, this and that. Nah, bro, something's wrong with this guy. And us as fans, we seem to be okay with it. We laugh it all nowadays. Fans laugh it off. you know, whenever somebody, you know, a former football player starts acting, you know, funny, we're like, oh, man, that's CTE, and it's like jokes when that stuff is real. Because CTE has had real effects that have been tragic. So I'm sitting there watching, you know, Chandler Jones record these things and his brother John Jones, you know, MMA fighter, great fighter. But he's pretty much displaying the same type of characteristics, the same behaviors as AB did a couple years ago. And to me, that stuff is CTE. And I know CTE, you know, think in the back of Aaron Hernandez. For those who remember the Javon Belcher, not as famous, but he ends up killing his girlfriend and himself. Junior Seau takes his own life. And I'm thinking about that stuff as I'm following the Chandler Jones story, and people are not, I don't feel like people are taking that seriously as they should, because to me, these are signs, man. Like, his brain has changed. And AB doesn't want to admit it, but his brain has changed. So they're displaying behaviors that's not them. So I'm like, something's got to be done, yo. Something's got to be done. And football's already changing, by the way, right? There's been a downturn in enrollment in football. Youth enrollment's taking a big dip, like over like 30+%, like 35% dip between 2000. I went and did some research on this. Since between 2008 and 2019, so 08 and 19, youth enrollment in football dropped something like more than 30%, like 35%, close to 35% drop in youth enrollment. Parents don't want to put their kids in football to suffer those life-threatening injuries, those life-altering injuries. And not just the bones and the ligaments, but the brain stuff. Parents don't want to do that. High school participation in that same time frame dropped 8%. Super Bowl viewership has dropped. A lot of people are like, I'm going to turn the joint off. 25%, close to 25% drop between 08 and 2019, right? Almost a 25% drop in Super Bowl viewership. Now people could say, well, you know, we're not all watching on TV anymore. You know, there's people watching streams, illegal streams, this and that. That's fine. But viewership has dropped drastically. And you can't fudge the kids not playing football no more, those numbers. You can't play with those. You can't fudge that. Despite the fact that football is like the most popular sport on TV, and all of the most popular sports, events on TV, all of the most popular events on TV are usually almost always football games, Super Bowl or not, playoff games, regular season games. But viewership is down, and a lot of that is not just because of the whole Colin Kaepernick joint. Most of those people came back, I think. A lot of that is because of injuries, man. Life-threatening injuries and brain injuries. Former players aren't letting their kids play, a lot of them. Some of them do, but a lot of them are like, nah, man, I went through all this so my kids don't have to, because they know the toll it takes on their body and their brain. I was listening to a podcast where Warren Sapp was talking about, he's starting to feel his brain, you know, starting to get kind of out of whack. My neighbor who played football at Alabama, right? University of Alabama. I was like, man, he only made it to training camp. I was like, man, you training camper, you live my dream. You lived a lot of our dreams. He's like, nah, man, it's really not what it's built up to make it look like. It's what it seems. It looks good, but he ended up getting hurt in training camp. He said his shoulder was down in his chest. That was his injury. He's like, don't let your kids play football. And he was a football player. He said, don't let your kids play football. Now, my wife wasn't going to let the kids play football anyway, as much as I wanted them to. But the point is, even former players are like, nah, man, it ain't worth it. Now, the thing is, the good thing for NFL, for the NFL, I will say, is that poor kids are always going to play, right? Just like drugs, right? Poor people are always going to see that as an opportunity to get out of a bad situation. But man, those who are more affluent or with more knowledge, they're going to steer their kids to other sports, basketball, baseball, whatever, soccer. Because nobody wants their kids to end up being like that. Those long-term impacts, man. And listen, I'm a fan of big hits. That's the thing. To me, this is such a tough conversation because I'm a fan of big hits. I love football. I'm a fan of big hits. But it's tough watching dudes, you know, start to take that turn and we don't do anything about it. I grew up on Steve Atwater and Ronnie Lott. That's my generation of football. Ryan Clark was laying dudes out. That's my generation. I love that stuff. But at the same time, now as a fan, and some fans are like, yo, I miss those days and football is getting soft. And they're right, football is getting soft. But player safety, we as fans, I think we have to accept that. That player safety has to come first. And it's okay if it gets even softer than what it is now. It's okay to reminisce of those big hits that Steve Atwater and Ronnie Lott used to lay out. But also realizing that stuff takes a toll on the human that is laying those hits out. So I'm in a position now where I'm like, I love the big hits, but I kind of want the NFL to kind of make it even softer. It sounds terrible, but they're going to have to, man. So I'm going to ask the NFL, like, go ahead and make those changes, man. And make them wholesale. Like, go ahead and make them now. Like, the Guardian caps that people wear in training camp and practice, everybody wears a Guardian cap now. Like, whatever it is to protect these dudes, especially their brains, like, do it now, man. Wholesale changes. There's going to be some people that leave. That's okay. Let them go. There's plenty of fans who're going to stay behind no matter what. Fans that leave with the whole Kaepernick joint. There's been plenty of reasons why NFL fans would stop watching. And they ain't stopping. They're going to stay, man. Yeah, you're going to take a hit. You're going to take some hits financially. But for the sake of those players, man, there's got to be some serious changes made to protect these dudes from themselves. And it's a violent game, I know. You can't legislate out all violence. And I'm not talking about the little soft stuff with the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are protected their baby. I'm not talking about the stuff that was implemented to make sure quarterbacks played 16 games to keep the fans interested. I'm talking about real stuff to protect people's heads. I know they got the new helmets coming out and stuff like that. I'm talking about major changes, man. If everybody has to play with the Guardian cap, so be it. Because I want football to stay. I love the NFL. But how much longer do we watch dudes just take a total turn for the worse? Who knows where Chandler Jones goes from this point? You know, kickoffs have changed. And I've been a big advocate for kickoffs and punts and this and that and special teams, but I don't know what the data says, but if kickoffs are causing brain trauma, maybe we have to get rid of kickoffs. But the NFL owners are going to have to, they're going to have to swallow the pill, man. Because I know fans see it and we react, but then there's so much stuff going on, we don't really think about the true impact. It doesn't linger. We saw Chandler Jones acting funny. Some of us laughed at it. Some people laughed at it. Some people was like, oh, man, that's messed up. But then we moved on. So I would like for the NFL to take a stance and for the owners to take a stance and actually start implementing real changes. And people are going to say it's soft. It's a soft league. And I think I'm okay with that, y'all. I'm okay with that. As opposed to the NBA, who's getting soft because they just want to bring in more fans and more money international, right? Higher scoring games for them is going to bring more money, more entertaining. The NBA needs to go opposite of that and allow more defense. I'll talk about that later at some point. But I think the NFL just has to go all in on safety. Be honest. Be honest about the situation. And go all in on safety, man. Yeah, it's football. People are going to get hurt. But I think there's more that can be done to protect these dudes and their brains. And the NFL sees that. The NFL sees the numbers dwindling. They see youth participation dwindling. Why do you think they have this Toy Story game this weekend with the NFL Europe, London game? Why do you think the NFL had the London game with the Toy Story? Because they know kids, parents aren't letting their kids play anymore. So hopefully they get more kids to, you know, start liking football and they get more fans and maybe even more players out of it. That's what that was about. The parents aren't letting the kids play, so hopefully the kids like it, and you know, at some point they'll bother their parents enough to want to play, to let them play. The NFL sees it. And I think the whole Taylor Swift thing has been a great thing for them because they're drawing a new audience. A lot of these Gen, whatever, X moms now, they're like, they're going to be watching football as a result of Taylor Swift. And they're like, ooh, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe I will let my kid play. I will let my kid become Travis Kelce. It's not so bad, Swifties. NFL is loving this because it's publicity that they weren't going to have before. They're able to get a foothold in a bunch of households that they weren't going to get before. These parents are like, oh, maybe it's okay if my kid plays football. Maybe it's okay, plays in the NFL, huh? It's not too bad. I'm telling you, they're thinking about that. But for sure, this Toy Story thing, right? Andy's Room, Toy Story, Jags versus Falcons game. Yeah, that's for sure trying to get more kids to play. More kids interested and more kids to eventually play. That's the game plan. I'm not mad at them. But in the meantime, NFL, you guys are just going to have to make it. I wish if I had one thing to say, I would say, please, you can't control all injuries, but there's more you can do for head injuries. And whatever it takes, whatever the scientists say, do it. Because as much as I love the hits, I mean, I'm not into watching humans degenerate and their brains degenerate to where they become totally different people like that. So that's where I'm at right now with football, man. I'm still going to watch. I know I'm a hypocrite. I still love it. But I think there's an opportunity there. If the owners could stop being greedy and look out for the players, there's an opportunity to make things right, to make the game even safer, right? Protect these guys from themselves, protect their heads. And maybe, just maybe, the game will continue to grow. A safer game will grow. We'll lose some people who think it's getting soft. That's fine. But we'll have a safer game, you know, that we won't have to be scared of people becoming totally different human beings later in their careers. All right, y'all. That's all I had. Appreciate y'all staying. I think I went long today. Appreciate y'all watching. NFL season continues, so we'll be back. Talk more football. Let me know what you think. Let me know your thoughts. But I'll catch you guys next time. Mike, Sports and the Real Shit. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.